Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 6. Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 6. Another passage that deals with what I've been preaching on. I started on last Sunday. The word that appears in the Hebrew and in the Greek as well, but the Hebrew form of it alone over 300 times. That word is the covenant. In Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 6. But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. There's really seven different covenants, major covenants, that the early church looked to, and especially the book of Hebrews, because the book of Hebrews was written to the Jews that had converted to Christianity. And they regarded seven types of covenants in this one book. One was the covenant of Eden that was prior to the fall of man. The next covenant was the covenant that God had made with Adam after the fall of man in the third chapter of Genesis. Then there was the covenant that God made with Noah. You remember that covenant well. After the earth had been destroyed with water, God made a covenant that He'd never destroy the earth again and put a rainbow in the clouds as a token of that covenant. Then there is the covenant with Abraham, where God promised him that He would bless his seed and that his heirs would be blessed to the ends of the earth, and out of his seed all the families of the earth will be blessed as well. That's still happening today. There was the Mosaic covenant, the covenant with Moses that God gave. There was the covenant that God gave to David. But here we read of the seventh and final covenant in the book of Hebrews, and that is the new covenant. I dealt in the last message with the ceremony of the covenant. Every major doctrine that we have is tied to this covenant, the new covenant. The doctrines to help us understand salvation and healing and holiness and worship and deliverance, it's all in the covenant. When they had their ceremony, the first thing they would do is exchange their robes. The two parties with the exchange of the robes were saying, "My possessions is your possessions." They would exchange their belts, upon which hung all of their weapons as well. They were exchanging their strength. They would then exchange the weapons themselves to say, "Your enemies now become my enemy." And I mentioned in the last sermon that when we enter into the covenant relationship with Jesus Christ, His enemy was Satan. Our enemy was death. So when we enter into that covenant relationship, the devil becomes our enemy. If you tell me that the devil has never bothered you, I'll tell you you're not in a covenant relationship with Jesus Christ. Because he hates the Lord, he battled Christ, and he battles those that enter into this relationship with Christ as to say, "I'm entering the covenant relationship, therefore his enemy becomes my enemy." But thank God he took on our enemy, death. And he conquered death. And when the time comes for me to leave this world, when I go down into that valley where the waters moan at the soul's last struggle, I'll have no fear. He'll be there with me to guide me and to lead me. His rod and his staff shall comfort me and lead me safely to the other side, because he conquered the enemy of death. He shall rule and reign until all enemies shall be put underfoot, and the last enemy shall be destroyed, and that enemy is death. Then they had the sacrifice, and I left you with the sacrifice. The reason that God required the life of an animal, and with Abraham, the life of a heifer. The reason that heifer was slit from top to bottom and the blood spill out is because once that animal died, it was irrevocable. It could not regain its life any other way. It was the seal on the contract
saying, I've made my mind up. This will stand. My end of this contract is valid. I deal with so many contracts through the years that sometimes my head spins at how easily people will revoke a contract. But you bank on this morning. What God said He will do, He will do. God means exactly what He says. And when He says to you this morning, if you'll enter into this covenant relationship, I will forgive you of all of your sin and change your life and turn your life around, and I'll seal it in the blood of my own Son. Thank God that that's exactly what He means, and He'll never, ever change His mind on it. Then came the walk of death. When they sacrificed the animal, the legs were folded out. Some say they were folded out to show that the covenant reached the entire world. Nobody in the world could change God's mind. Split in half and the blood coming down. The two covenant partners did something strange. You remember the covenant with Abraham? When the sacrifice had been divided, God told Abraham to what? Walk through the two pieces. Now that walk was called the walk of death. When they walked through the pieces, one covenant partner would walk through and go back to the right and come around. The other covenant partner would go through to the left and come around. Do you know what they made? A figure eight. They walked through the blood and came back in a figure eight. Do you know what eight symbolizes in the Word of God? New beginnings. You remember when God gave the law concerning circumcision? It was to take place on what day? The eighth day. 7 days in a week. What's the eighth day? The start of a new week. New beginnings. The number eight always stands for new beginnings. For those of you that have committed sin, those of you that are living in your sin, this morning you will come face to face with a covenant partner. The Lord will deal with your heart about entering into a relationship, a covenant that He says is the new covenant. Now the sacrifice is not a heifer. The sacrifice is Jesus Christ Himself. And when you enter into that relationship and walk the walk of death, why is it called the walk of death? Because through that we're saying that there is something that is dying out. There has been something that has died. Friend, I'll say this to you. God says that if we come to Him, something's got to die. There was something that died on His part when He gave His only begotten Son. But there's something that must die on our part as well. We come to the place where that we have to say, as Paul, here's that covenant talk again. I am crucified with Christ. What was He saying? I made the walk of death. I walked through the blood. And the old man died. Oh, I feel preaching coming on. And when the old man died, I entered into a relationship with God that was a relationship of new beginnings. Thank God you have a brand new life in Christ. Old things passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That's the walk of death. The problem is, you remember what you used to do. But through the covenant, God said, I see a figure eight. I see a new beginning. I see a new day. I see a new life. You have new hope. You have new challenges. You have a new family. Do you know that even when you get to heaven, God gave you a new name? I don't understand all of it, but I know one thing: when we get there, we'll fully understand it all, and there'll be nothing to dim our vision or our understanding. And when we're in His presence, we'll sing a new song. God likes new things, and He especially likes to take old lives that are so ruined by sin and turn them around and see them step into a brand new relationship, and their sin forgiven, and the Lord come into their life and change them. That's the promise of God's covenant. I visited a man While I was in Indiana preaching, I preached in Indiana on Friday night. And on Friday, I visited a fella. He couldn't hear me, couldn't see me. Probably didn't even know I was there. His family knew it. But I just had to see him. He was a rough fella. He was involved with a gang for years and years. His pastor told me his testimony. And I'd heard about him long before I ever got to Indiana. And he, at the age of 55, decided to serve the Lord. Here came a man that had done everything that everybody in the state was afraid of. They said they couldn't even find police to arrest him when he'd get on drunken brawls. He was that mean. But at the age of 55, he entered into a covenant. And for the past 3 years, he's walked as a new man. Said that he's driving home one day and his pastor told me, said, we had an old church bus. Said that old bus was smoking. It was terrible. Said the fella come to me and said, that could get somebody hurt. He said, you need some buses to pick those kids up with. That's reliable. He said, well, we'll pray about it. He said, pray nothing. I'll do something about it. He had a classic Corvette. Sold that Corvette. Went over into Michigan. Found nice buses and brought them back and set them on the lot. The preacher said, we'll get board approval. He said, you don't need board approval. Come from God. How can they argue if anything come from God? He was following one of those buses home last Sunday. Pulled his car off the side of the road and had an aneurysm. He's laying in the state of unconsciousness. And at any time, he may have even made his flight to glory already. But I wonder, all of those sins that has plagued that man for the past 3 years since he met Christ, those things that he worried about that he couldn't undo, I wonder the shock on his face when he finally enters into the throne room of God and the books are open. And God says, let's see what the books of life have to say. And one by one, the devil begins to try to accuse of all of his sinful past. The time that he run around in gangs, and the time that he dealt with drugs, and the time he did this, and the time he did that. But then when the books are open, Jesus says, what sin are you talking about? They were washed away that Sunday morning that he walked down the aisle and said yes to Christ. Hallelujah. I'm glad the blood is able to take our past away and forgive us of all of our sin. And you can have redemption this morning and enter into that contract. The walk of death. Then there was the fact that that walk of death was sealed by the blood. On one occasion, the priest would sprinkle the blood on the person entering the covenant relationship for those with leprosy. You remember the story. He would sprinkle the blood on them and sprinkle the blood on a bird. Turn the bird loose to fly away. It's because of the blood that you and I can sing songs this morning like, I'll fly away. What happened to the other covenant partner when the blood was sprinkled on him? He took his flight to glory. But hallelujah, he's coming back again. Just any day, any hour, the trumpet will sound. And we too will take our flight to be in His presence. But until then, I'm covered by the blood. I don't know if it was Sunday night or Wednesday night after service. Kevin Kraft stopped me outside and said, you know, I got to thinking about something. From an engineering standpoint. And I thought, oh, if he talks engineering, he's over my head. But he said something that was so deep yet so simple. He said, you know, if you divide something and then you take what's left and divide it again. Take what's left and divide it again. Take what's left and divide it again. Do you know that it's impossible to ever use it all up? Divide it in half and divide it in half and divide it in half and divide it in half. I've seen thousands upon thousands walk the aisles now, enter into this covenant relationship with Christ. I've seen the blood sprinkled on them, and the best part of it is there's still enough blood to save everybody that is lost without Christ. It doesn't matter what you've done. The blood will never run out. Thank God the blood is sufficient, and it still stands this morning for the cleansing of sin. Everyone here today could be saved. Everyone in every church in this valley, every person around the world, and there still be enough blood left over to save every soul of their sin. God says the covenant will stand. Then there was the mark on the body. The blood covenant that came out of our Old Testament went beyond that. They would oftentimes mark the wrist, even slit the wrist enough to get blood out. When they would shake hands, they would lock hands and mingle one another's blood together. They would then turn around and take ashes, and in later years, substances similar to gunpowder, and rub it in the cut. Do you know why? When the cut healed, it left a dark scar, a reminder of the covenant. You know what amazed me? I did a study on, you ever wonder something? If I do this to you, what do you do back? Why didn't you do it? Why do we wave? You ever wonder why we wave at one another? Well, preacher, that's silly to say hello. How did that have the meaning of hello or goodbye? Do you know where that came from? All the way back in Jewish history, when they would make a mark and enter into a covenant with one another, they would then put those ashes in to make that scar dark. And when they would, glory to God, when they would see their covenant partner, they would wave at them. Do you know why they would wave at them? So they could see the mark on their body. They were saying, I just want to remind you, thank you for the covenant. Thank you for the covenant. And they would wave back and forth. Now you say, preacher, that's not scripture. Oh, but Isaiah 49:16, you read it when you go home. You'll find out that the Lord said that He hath graven us on the palms of His hands. The palms were part of the wrist as well, where they would slit themselves. Do you know what He did? When Jesus died, it made a mark on God as well as on Christ. And every now and then, I have to just look up at Him and wave and say the covenant's still good. And He looks at the mark on His hand to wave back and say, yes, son, it's still good. Thank God for the covenant relationship that we enter into. No wonder Paul said that I'm persuaded that neither life nor death nor angels nor principalities nor things present nor things to come nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God. Oh, He tries to. What do you do when sickness racks your body and you don't know whether you're going to make it or not? Just look up to heaven and wave to God and say, Lord, the covenant's still good. Even when sickness comes, what do you do when you lose all the money in the bank and you don't know how you're going to make it? Just look up to heaven and wave your hand to God and say the covenant's still good. I believe you for my salvation. I believe you for the food on my table. I believe you for the roof on my head. I believe you, Lord, no matter what. What do you do when you spend your life trying to reach your unsaved family and they wander astray and they seem so uninterested? You just wave your hand to God and say, Lord, you know my family needs to be saved. I know what can happen. Glory be to God when they get in a covenant relationship. So, Lord, I just want to remind you, we've got a covenant. We're going to stand on the covenant. What do you do when you find the troubles of life are so heavy on you and you feel like you've lost your song and you don't know what to do? Just lift your hand to Him and wave your hand and say, Lord, I've entered into a covenant. There's the mark. It You say, "You're crazy, preacher." Am I really? Thomas doubted. Thomas doubted. He said, "I don't believe it. I don't believe he's alive. I won't believe it until I touch the nail prints in his hand, thrust my hand in his side." When Jesus met, all he had to do was show him the covenant. Do you know the only thing in heaven made by the hands of man are the scars in the body of Jesus? Why is that the only thing that will be in heaven? Because every time one of us come to the Lord and we say, "Lord, we've sinned and I know I'm not worthy of salvation. And Lord, I know I'm not worthy to be saved. Oh, Lord, please forgive me of my sin." And the devil says, "What grounds is there?" All Jesus has to do is raise his hand. And when he raises his hand, he says, "There's the mark. There's the seal of the covenant. That's sufficient to save the lost sinner and to bring them in." Thank God there is a mark that shows that he loved us when he stretched out his hands and they nailed them to the cross and they nailed his feet to the cross. He was sealing the covenant. There's the marks. No wonder Paul said, "Here's that covenant. Talk again. I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus." He could say back, "Lord, I know that you entered into the covenant, but I'm proud of every mark on my body because I've taken them for you, God. I'm willing to do it all that I can reach the lost." There is a mark on the body that seals the covenant. I don't know why anybody would choose to live their life without God. Now, somebody may have promised you something along the line and they failed. But please hear me this morning. What God promises, He will do. You know, somebody actually wrote me a letter one time. And in that letter, they asked me the question. They say, "Why in your services every now and then, for no reason at all, you'll wave your hand, or you'll stand up and lift your hand?" You know what I tell them? Sometimes the Lord passes by so close, I just have to wave at Him. And you know what He does? He waves back. And when He waves back, I see the seal of the covenant. The covenant still stands. God's word is sure and true. You're not depending on Rubyville Church. You're not depending on Calvin Ray Evans to go to heaven. You're not depending on your parents. You're depending upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And He has the power to save you and forgive you and change your life this morning. Will you stand together with me all over the sanctuary? Brother Howard comes and leads us in a verse of song. There is a covenant. His covenant will stand. God wants to enter into a personal relationship with you. Some of you know that God's been dealing with your heart. He's been trying to get your attention. Been trying to say, "Look here, I love you. I want to help you. I want to be with you." Some of you are really going through dark days right now. You may just need to come forward and you may not even be able to kneel. But you need to come forward this morning and say, "Lord, I'm just going to lift my hand to you and thank you that the covenant is still good. It's binding, Lord." He sees us when we need help and He'll help us. If you're lost today, you ought to come. Christian friend, if you need God's help today, you ought to come. No wonder He says, for us to lift holy hands unto the Lord. He wants to see that mark too. He wants to know our commitment too. God's dealing with your heart. You ought to just slip out of your seat and come. We'll meet you. We'll pray with you as we sing. Will you come?
Page 383.
Come right on. Come right on. Hallelujah.
I hear.